Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Death is an inevitable part of all life, but also something that not many people feel comfortable discussing. That's understandable. It's something that we can never truly know, and that's a scary concept to contend with. However, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be talked about, and for many, talking more about death can be something that is healing. That is what certain gathering events, dubbed death cafes, are trying to show. The Death Cafe, as it's structured today, has been around for over a decade, originally hosted by a man named John Underwood in the UK. Since then, variations of the Death Cafe have been hosted all over the world, including right here in Vancouver. Recently, CJSF was made aware of a Death Cafe series being hosted twice a month at different venues around East Vancouver. We wanted to learn more and got in touch with the lead organizer, Ava Quissey. Ava Quissey is a recent SFU graduate of political science and someone who, after speaking with her, clearly loves talking about death. During our conversation, we spoke with Quissey about why she started these death cafes, some of the conversations it's created, and how talking about death doesn't have to be so scary. Please take a listen.
My name's Ava. I'm actually also an SFU graduate. But I host Death Cafes in Vancouver, which I've been hosting for about a year now, on and off. And it's something I'm really passionate about, really interested in conversations around death and grief and community building. So yeah, happy to be here.
What made you start organizing these events in the first place?
Yeah, so I actually took a class at SFU, HUM3, what's the course code? Okay, I forget, but by Jason Brown, and he taught this class called Death, Disease, and Disaster, something like that. And it was all about like culture's response to tragedy, death being one of those things, like thinking about how cultures understand death and such. And that just like ignited all these themes in my life that I had kind of been suppressing for a long time about anxiety around death and conversations of grief and change and such. So through taking that class, I came across death cafes, which I ended up doing as a final project in that class, and just read about it. And I was like, this seems amazing. So I did a death cafe with a small group of friends, like six people in my friend's house. And it was just super, super moving and just a really beautiful experience. And I was like, everyone must experience this. So then a little while later, I started doing them publicly. And now I do them for anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts are you doing them? Is it, from what I saw online, it looked like you kind of switch venues?
Yeah, I've done a few different venues, which has been interesting because depending on the venue, like, you can obviously get different people. And it's been interesting to see how it's changed as I've facilitated in different spaces and tried different things. But I've done the Slice of Life at East Cafe, at Secret Lantern Society, all based in East Vancouver. And then in the future, I'm hoping to do some outside and do some cool, like, collaborative events. So especially as the weather gets warmer, to like be in an outside space and have these discussions. But yeah.
And what are these discussions? You know, when I saw the premise of a death cafe, is it sort of tailored towards people who have experienced death and are going through a grieving process, or people just wanting to talk about the concept of death in general? How does that work?
Yeah, so the Death Cafe, there is like an actual format, kind of like quote unquote, comes out of England, like 2011. This guy John Underwood, he started this official thing called Death Cafe, which is a place for people to come together and talk about anything related to death and grief. But it has some guidelines in its traditional format of like, there's no prompts. It's group-led discussion. It's not bereavement counseling. Like, it's a safe space for people to come together and like enjoy snacks and connect and just like talk about the philosophical and, interests or experiences, whatever. Every death cafe is different, and it morphs to the needs of the community. And definitely, as people host death cafes in Vancouver, and I've seen different death cafes happen, people play with, you know, those rules. So I definitely have used prompts before and such. But it's really, like, it's for anybody, it's for anything. Yeah, like, I feel like people typically come and talk about experiences with loss. It is typically more oriented towards, like, a grief-sharing kind of style event. But I definitely have people that come in and are just want to talk about funeral planning, especially if they're, like, a bit older in age. People come in talking about pet loss. People come in talking about, yeah, like, theoretical interests or religion. Like, there's so many different things. So, you know, as long as the space is safe and respectful for anybody, then it really can just be anything. Yeah.
Do you think death isn't talked about enough? Do you think that just, you know, I mean, obviously you host these death cafes, but just on a societal level, it does feel in a lot of ways like a taboo topic, something that provides a lot of discomfort for people. And is that part of what these death cafes are trying to quell or combat?
Yeah, that's definitely where this comes out of, right? The death cafe is a response to particularly like the global North or North American culture having a very sanitized relationship with death, medicalized relationship with death, and how we've been so separated from traditions and experiences with death culturally. So and loss, I think, like just being, I don't know, intimately acknowledging how present loss is in our lives and all the different ways that we experience loss. So the Death Cafe definitely comes as a response to that need and that lack. I definitely don't think it's talked about enough. I mean, my whole basis for being interested in this was feeling such anxiety around it when I was a child. And especially as we live in an increasingly like secular and globalized world, especially in North America, which is this crazy combination of traditions and, you know, a new culture and navigating all of this. I think a lot of people feel like maybe a little bit lost in the dark in some of these discussions, and especially from the discussions that happen in these events, I think a lot of people feel really alone in their experiences. So I have just, every time there's a death cafe, the response is so overwhelming and how connected people feel. And that always just points to how deep the need is. And so, yeah, I think there's always more room to talk about these things for sure. Yeah.
How do you feel like your perspective on death has changed since starting these?
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit in a death cafe I had the other day, where sometimes I'll vocalize in the death cafe. I'm like, oh, people will think that, you know, because I'm in these spaces. Yeah, like, what does it mean to always be in a space where you're kind of thinking about death or talking about death with people, you know? But yeah, I think maybe for a certain time, I almost did it as like a defense mechanism. It's like I had this anxiety and it was like, okay, well, now I know I have to face this anxiety. And maybe by facing it, you know, I can overcome it. But it's not about overcoming it. Like, I think I've really had to come to terms with the fact that, like, I'll always be scared. I'll always have fear, and there's always an unknown, and I can't do anything about that. And that is kind of the essence of the relationship. It's accepting the unknown, and it's accepting that I can't control these things and making peace with that in my human experience. And so I feel like that's kind of been one of the bigger lessons of just, like, I have to face this, and that doesn't mean that I'm more prepared for it. It just means that I'm, like, facing it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think it's not something that, like, death isn't something you experience and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm better now. Like,
yeah.
I've healed. It's like, totally. It's an ongoing process. And it's just, these spaces are sort of meant to, like, commiserate and come to terms with that process rather than, like, quote unquote, overcoming it.
Totally. And it's interesting to see people talk about grief. Like, often people will use, like, kind of like fighting words. It's like, to fight my grief, you know, to, like, overcome my grief. And I don't know, you know, like, everyone has their own way of making peace. But I think it is about making peace, you know, like, our grief becomes a part of us and it's morphs and it changes. And how do we incorporate that into our lives in a real way rather than, like, pushing it away? Yeah, it's interesting to see the language that people use around it. But yeah, like what? How can you prepare yourself for the death of your friends and family? You know, I don't know that it's about being prepared or it's about being ready. You know, these things are supposed to be devastating. Like that is the importance of them. You know, like that's the way it is. But recognizing that devastation in community is so important. And so, yeah.
What is the mood like at these events? That was something I was curious about, because the way you talk about it, it feels so, I guess for lack of a better term, positive. Mm-hmm. Like you sound very positive when you speak about it. And I'd imagine that these can be kind of heavy at times, but what is just the overall mood and tone of these death cafes, or maybe the tone that you try to convey?
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. I definitely talk about it and I'm like, my friends are like, oh, how did the last death cafe go? And I'm like, oh, it went so well, you know? But it's like, these people are, you know, like we're crying together. And it really reaches such highs and lows in, you know, in positive ways. But it's a full spectrum of emotion. And I always frame it that way going into the space. I always tell people that this is a dynamic space where crying and laughing will happen. And like all of those things are okay. Grief and loss and our feelings about death encompass, like, there's so many different ways that they manifest. So to go into an event where we talk about those things and expect to only be sad is just not even a reflection of what it's like to actually experience those emotions, right? Yeah, so I mean, it definitely has, obviously, it's very sad, slow, heavy moments. Of course, there's a deep and intense sharing, but there's just such a community that's created. And leaving, I'm just, yeah, I feel like I'm hugging strangers, and it's like there's such a beauty in that heartache. And yeah, it's kind of almost indescribable sometimes. That's how it feels for me, at least. I feel so filled up by it. Sometimes I get kind of anxious before the events, and then when I leave, I'm just always so moved, always. Yeah.
Do you find that it's been sort of the same people reattending, or is it always kind of a new crowd wanting to speak on death?
Yeah, there's definitely people that come back for sure, which is awesome. And it's been interesting. Something I've been passionate about is creating more of an intergenerational space, because a lot of the death cafes that I attended before I started hosting publicly were maybe a bit more themed and a bit more oriented towards people that were thinking about end-of-life planning and such, which is super important, of course, or thinking about funeral planning. But I was really curious, especially just from my own experience, to tap into the thoughts and feelings of people more in my age group. So creating the intergenerational space has been really interesting, and in seeing how those conversations, like what conversations have come up. And then seeing like my friends show up and like not tell me about it, or like people that I've kind of met, and realizing, yeah, that there is such a need. Yeah, it's also, yeah, like I said, you know, different spaces, different people. So I'm always kind of surprised sometimes. And it's gotten to a point where I do have people that I know show up and they're not telling me. And I'm just like, okay, this is nice. This is a good thing. But I'm finding new ways to try and get the message out there to new groups, because it's really a space for everybody. Like, I think everybody can benefit from being there. So,
yeah, I mean, the intergenerational aspect seems like a pretty important part, because, you know, I'm assuming we're both in our 20s. Mm-hmm. And like, when there are older people attending these events, like, it's kind of a fact of life. Like, once you get to a certain age, like, you are going to have experienced death, mm-hmm. At some point, or like the death of loved ones in your life. So like having those people there, providing that kind of perspective for people that are younger and maybe haven't had those experiences yet, or had fewer of those experiences, that feels like a very important part.
Totally. And I think it's like, what does it mean to live the width of your life, but also the depth of it? And we, like, it's so easy to make, you know, relationships with people that are on the same kind of time frame as you, like in your circle. But having relationships with people that have more life experience and less, you know, younger and older, there is something so, so essential about that. And yeah, I was reading about this, like, beautiful indigenous perspective about like living your life to become a good elder or a good ancestor. And I talked about this a little bit in my death cafe on Wednesday. And I think we've become really alienated from that idea. Like, we get really caught up in, like, what's happening right now and how do I live, you know, especially in this youth-obsessed culture, which definitely bleeds into this fear of death and fear of loss and change and aging, you know? What does it mean to have vibrant, healthy, inspiring relationships with people that are older than you and to, like, have that reciprocal inspiration of, like, life doesn't end yet, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much taboo just around aging. So I think they're all intertwined in my eyes. And you wanna live every moment as fully as possible, and having those relationships and those insights, I think, really plays a big hand in that, for sure.
How can people who want to learn more about the Death Cafes, like when they're hosted, yeah, where, how does that work?
The promo. Yeah. It's a little bit low key right now, but I do post them on Instagram. That's when I host mine. I host out of various spots in East Vancouver monthly on my own, and then I co-host with a friend out of Playground Studio. Also trying to do that monthly, but so you can check out Playground Studio because we posted it on there, and then I have an Instagram called Looking Out Looking In, which is where I just post any of my little death related journey stuff. So I always post on there, and then it's also on Eventbrite usually as well. So yeah, keep an eye out.
Once again, that was our conversation with Ava Quissy, host of a Death Cafe series in East Vancouver. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.